Welcome back, everybody, to the Stark Wars podcast, where we talk all things Marvel, Star Wars, and everything in between. Please take a moment to check our show notes to find our social media, merch, and more. Today, we are recapping The Bad Batch, Episodes 7 and 8, and I'm joined by a guy. We had to decommission Tommy for the podcast, but I did bring in my favorite stormtrooper, Jake. Jake, how's it going?
It's going well, Michael. I have some disturbing news. Speaking of the devil Tommy, he destroyed all the cities on my home planet, and we got to do something. We got to get to the Senate and tell them all about it.
I mean, we didn't decommission him for no reason, so yeah, we're coming for you, Tommy. I don't even know if Tommy's watched the episode. He's probably not listening to the podcast, so you know we can make fun of him. Jake, I want to get your takes. Really happy to have you on here for Bad Batch. What have you thought about season two thus far?
I will say I look back on season one very fondly. And I think that's because I had the understanding of that it's early Dave Filoni animation, and something we've discussed in the past is that that's typically just very lighthearted little adventures. And it was kind of like touching roots with Clone Wars. And I love that. And I feel like this season's been rather light. You know, I don't think we get a lot of movement in some of these characters. I think Omega has gotten some good movement. You know, we had that scene with her earlier in the season where the guy gives her the toy and is like, don't forget, you're still a kid, but you're not a soldier. And, you know, we get some good moments like that. Her, oh, freaking seeing Gunji again. So far I've enjoyed it. I'd like a little bit more movement. And that's why I'm very happy to be covering these episodes, because these are some awesome episodes.
Yeah. Jake, you had mentioned, you're like, I want to come on for like a big episode. And I was like, well, listen, I looked at the schedule, episode 7 and 8, they're coming out in the same week. I don't think that's a coincidence. You know, I think they had to combine episodes anyways, but the fact that they were combining these two, I don't know, it was a little red flag to me. I kind of figured this was going to be big, and boy, was it. I really enjoyed these two episodes, and it was kind of like a crock pot of cameos. Like, I think we did the cameo draft earlier, and I don't think we hit on anything, but we got like some weird camp. Like, let me just, I'll go through here. My notes, Bail Organa, Senator Chuchi, R2C4 is in Resistance. That's Poe's Astromech in Resistance. I don't know when he comes across that, but we get Rex. We get the Kaminoan senator. I go on and on. It was just kind of weird how many people we got in here.
There's another one. And I learned this through someone else, but, Senator Pamlo in the Senate, she is in Rogue One.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that one was sick. I was like, she looks familiar.
Yeah, it was, and then obviously, you know, jumping to the end of the episodes here, we get the big one in Emperor Palpatine, which I'm going to gush over that a lot, but we will start here with episode 7, and I lost the title, but...
Clone Conspiracy?
Clone Conspiracy, thank you so much. This is why we had you here. We open here with two clones at a bar, very reminiscent of the bar in Attack of the Clones. But they're sitting there, and it's two clones, and he's like, listen, I've kind of fed up. I want a rat on Rampart. I gave him an ultimatum. He can either tell the Senate himself, or I will. And Jake, I don't know about you, but the second that he was saying this, is like, dude, you just killed yourself. Like, this is not a good idea. Rampart's not going to be the kind of guy that just deals with this.
Yeah, I thought that was rather silly how he was like, oh, I'm going to give him an ultimatum. It's like, you're giving a high admiral of the Imperial Navy like an ultimatum, like, or you're a lowly soldier, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, like, this guy's working to like decommission you and all your friends, so
this like, guy, like, you were the most expendable to him. And this, I don't know if you remember, this bar was in, I think the episode was also called Clone Conspiracy or just Conspiracy in Six Wars, when Fives was figuring out like everything about the inhibitor chips and stuff. And I just thought another kind of throwback is that this bar, it's just this clone bar was pretty sick.
Yeah, that's interesting. It is like a clone bar. But yeah, so next year we kind of get the Senate scene. This is where we get a lot of different things going on here. They're talking, but mainly I think the conversation again is centered around the clones. And we also get Bail Organa, who shows up here. A lot of Bail Organa recently, from Tales to this. He's everywhere.
We love Bail. I mean, Bail's the goat. He was in Kenobi too.
Yep. But yeah, so she's kind of like pitching like pension plans for the clones. Like she's very much like wanting to protect these people and not just throw them out on the street like we saw in Kenobi. So we'll kind of see how that's probably going to end up. But yeah, so this is where, yeah, she talks to Bail. Bail's kind of all about it. And then she goes to clones and she's pitching it to them too.
Yeah. One second. Super professional podcast.
Nah, I can edit this out.
All right. I loved this whole Senate scene. I love the politics of Star Wars. I think it's really, it's all very fascinating. And that's kind of a gripe a lot of the older fans of Star Wars had with the prequels. But as like you and I grew up with the prequels, it's one of my favorite things is learning about how this galaxy works and how we get from point A to point B a lot of the time, because some of these writers are so good about making such like minuscule decisions in the galaxy seem very interesting about like, how did we get from clones to stormtroopers? And I don't know. It was just, it felt like a very like charged conversation for a show that's kind of directed towards kids.
Yeah. It's like some very heavy stuff. Like it is like pure raw politics here, like going on, like very serious things that they're discussing. And you're right. I love when Star Wars does this, like cleans up their plot holes. And this isn't necessarily a plot hole, but it's just filling in like a little thing that, you know, it's not even something I really thought about too much, but yeah. How did we get from clones to stormtroopers? And yeah, they're covering that now. And yeah, I just love this. And like, I don't know, like I think that was a complaint with a lot of people with the prequels, was that like it was too political. But I love this stuff. Like this was like a political thriller, these two episodes, and it totally worked for me.
It was great stuff. And I really like kind of the real world implications of like institutions versus like the people. Because if you notice, like, it's the Commerce Guild, the Banking Guild, and the Imperial Navy fighting all these, like, what is Chuchi? She's Pantoran, I think. And, like, Pamela, who's at the head of her world. It's, like, these are, like, institutions against worlds. I don't know. It's very, you know, Star Wars was, at one point, a political commentary. So I think, I like that that's still kind of being carried on, you know, 40, 50 years.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to compare it to Game of Thrones, because I mean, this is the kind of thing that's been around way before Game of Thrones, but it is very much like, yeah, you kind of get the different perspectives. And the fun thing about Star Wars is like, you know, throughout Clone Wars, Rebels, Bad Batch, books, comics, video games, we get to learn about, you know, the banking clan, you know, like we get the backstory on all these people. We know that this person was from Rogue One and so on and so forth. And so yeah, while it like that one character was in it for like 3 seconds, we kind of understand what they're doing, what their motivations are, and what side they're on. So I don't know. Star Wars universe is cool. So that's what I'm getting at. So a couple things with Slip here. Slip was the clone at the bar. You see him call somebody for help, and I don't know. I guess I should have figured it might be Rex. Did you have a theory? Because it seemed like they were setting up a big reveal here.
Yeah, I should have thought it was Rex too. I thought it just was Hunter or something. But then once we saw Rex, I was like, oh, no one really knows the Bad Batch is around still. I kind of forgot about that. It was very prevalent once I saw like the stun ray. I'm jumping ahead, but I was like, oh, of freaking course it's Rex.
Right. So, this is also, yeah. So she, Chuchi meets up with Slip and they're talking, and this is when Slip gets sniped by some mysterious bounty hunter. This is another one of like where I was like, who's under that mask? You know, my first thought was Crosshair. He just got a new suit because he was sniping. But I think this has bigger implications, and I want to give you my theory here, because I brought this up in the past where I said, if the Bad Batch have all these special skills, why don't they clone the Bad Batch and make, you know, a bunch of super snipers, right? And I think they might have done that. That's my guess, because they were kind of weirded out by this clone. They said that, like, his tags were removed, and something weird's going on here, and I think it's a Crosshair clone. Is that wild?
No, I actually love that theory. My working theory during the episode before we saw the face and like learned about this particular clone is I thought it was Boba. I was really hoping it was Boba.
That would be cool.
Cause that like this, like that would be such deep, like we had the clones destroy their home world. And before they can tell the Senate, we're getting like another clone to kill them. And I guess that is what happened, but it would have just been cool if it was Boba. I love Empire is so evil sometimes that it's so gross. And, you know, in the originals, they were very just kind of basically evil. We didn't like, I mean, it was a space opera. We weren't supposed to have all the answers, but now it's like, we're learning like how freaking gross they are. But to answer your question, yes, I think that would be really cool. There's definitely something shady going on. They wouldn't bring up the fact that they can't get his chain code or whatever, or any identifying marks. I also had a theory it could be someone we've met briefly in the past, like Heavy, like one of the original members of Domino Squadron. But I don't know. I think that's a cool theory. The clone of Crosshair.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I've been on the Boba Fett train for a long time. Boba Fett is going to be in the Bad Batch and will like I will die on this hill. So I think it's just a matter of time. But yes, this is where this is where Crosshair shows up. And that kind of went through the episode. That's kind of like the basic structure of the episode there. This is where Rex shows up. Any other thoughts on this first episode?
I loved this one. I loved this one just a little bit more than the second. That being said, I loved the other one. Another scene that I really loved that I can't remember if we covered. My brain's moving very fast. Is when Ryo met with Bail in that little alley. She just had a lot of really cool pullable quotes, like something to the tune of like, when did standing up become like a mess up or like a something to be frowned upon? I don't know. This was a very cool episode, and that's the interesting thing. No Bad Batch this one episode. It was very Clone Wars-esque.
Yeah, no, I thought this was a lot of fun. I think I like the second episode more. I know we went through the first episode pretty quick, but I have a lot to say on the second episode. So if we will, let's move on to episode 8. And we open here on something very interesting. We get Omega, who is trying to meditate. And she says that she learned the meditation from Gunji, but the meditation isn't working for her. And there's two ways to read this, right? Number one, it's them telling us she's not force sensitive, guys, get over it. Or it could be she is going to continue practicing and might be force sensitive. I know we've talked about this. We talk about this every episode. Is Omega force sensitive? How do you read this scene? What does this mean to you?
I personally think the not force sensitive part, ever since Rise of Skywalker, we have really been kind of barely touching here and there the idea of cloning force sensitivity with Grogu, with seeing something that kind of looked like Snoke in The Mandalorian in a chamber, with the mountain at the end of the first season of Bad Batch, which I won't give much away because I have a feeling they're going to touch back on it, but that mountain has a lot to do with old like Star Wars Legends lore and cloning. So, and Omega's, her own cloning has a lot of implications around kind of like mystery. Like, why was there another clone, unaltered clone of Jango? So, I don't know. I don't think she's force sensitive, but I think she is tied to all of this like big mystery we have around like force sensitivity cloning. If she is, that's pretty cool. I'll accept it. But at the same time, I'm hoping it's not, because I like the idea that Omega is just like adopting traditions of the Jedi, but not quite a Jedi.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't think I really solidified whether or not I wanted it to be one way or another. And honestly, I still don't think I'm really on one side or the other. I like the way you put it. I'm completely fine with her not being force sensitive. I'm kind of on the train now that I think that this is hinting towards some possible training for Omega. I think they might be going that route. And I think we can go down a route where she can be force sensitive and not a Jedi, right? Maybe that is just like one of her skills, that she has many skills. So I think that would be interesting to dabble in. So I guess we'll see where that goes. Another thing here, kind of skipping ahead, but Omega's wearing a poncho later. And I just want to say, ponchos and Jedis go hand in hand.
You mean 99% of the clothing options in Fallen Order?
Yeah, exactly.
Which, speaking of, I'll say it real quick and we can move on. If I see one poncho in Jedi Survivor, I'm going to be upset. I'm so ready for a variation of outfits.
Yeah, and it looks like we're getting it. I'm big poncho guy. Like, I would wear ponchos in real life, but like, I don't think it's socially acceptable. big poncho guy. So I like the ponchos in the original game. I would like to see some, and then other options as well. So, okay, so yes, we will get back to the episode. And this is where Rex calls the Bad Batch. Kind of interesting, you know, one clone calls Rex for help, and then Rex calls Bad Batch. It's kind of a chain here. But yes, there's also another one of my favorite parts. This is where we see Omega in her new gown, but she gets to kind of tour the Senate with Chuchi. I thought this was fun.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty sick. We got in a lot of, I had to look up his name, Mos Amita, these two episodes, which I was kind of hoping that was like leading up to like a, like him, because that guy's got to be like a fighting ultimate warrior. Like he just like looks like he can whoop some butt. But like, I was hoping we kind of see that. I hope he's like him versus the Bad Batch and him just like holding his own. Because we did get to see a lot of him, and that's someone we never see.
Yeah, unless I'm missing something from a book, or like, I don't think we know the fate of this character. So, you know, I think that would be one of the interesting things to, you know, kind of like I mentioned before, like closing some books in the Star Wars universe. I think that this is one that is open for me.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a cool scene. Omega just kind of, just Omega's fascination with Coruscant all in all is really cool. Because you think about it, like, she grew up on Kamino, and that's so different. And she, like, she stays on Ord Mantell, mainly in the Outer Rim. They're kind of going to, like, desolate worlds, if not, like, lightly populated. So her seeing, like, the heart of the galaxy, these, like, towering towers and, like, endless pits of cities. It's, like, it was really cool to kind of see that fascination from her. And her robe was sick, then when she was, like, kind of in her disguise.
Yeah. So we also get, I wrote this name down from memory, and I don't think I'm going to say it right, but I'm going to try. It's the senator of Kamino, Holly Bitoni.
Something like that. I don't even remember what episodes of Clone Wars she was in.
It's kind of scattered for me. I'm fairly confident this is not the first time we've seen her, but it's very interesting here. They want to talk to her about kind of like, you know, getting revenge for her homeworld, and she has no interest. Like, she's like, well, they're all dead, so what do I do? It's like, well, I don't know. I don't really.
There's no like cultural pride behind that. I mean, she's under the thumb of the Empire, I think.
It's interesting. I feel like maybe that is a trait of the species in general, of like them being kind of like socially detached ice people, right? Like just completely stone cold in a way. Because I don't know that we really get any, like, even in Bad Batch season one, with Nala Se, and like they're all pretty like robotic almost.
Yeah, I don't know. That'd be an interesting. I'd like to know. I'd like to dive into this and see if there's anything in books or something that kind of talk about how Kaminoans are a little emotionally detached.
Right. So one of their plans here is to get to Rampart's ship to steal some evidence of the destruction of Kamino. And the Bad Batch, they kind of split up from Omega here, and they like sneak onto the bottom of a ship to get in there. But yeah, so there's a bunch of stuff that happens here. They end up getting in, the clones find them, and they kind of exchange gunfire. I didn't know if you had any comments on that. I don't really.
It was pretty cool. I think the escape was really cool. Them using the escape pods, shooting out multiple at a time so they can get kind of scattered while searching for them. We got a kind of a classic like Bad Batch trope of Hunter being like, we're gonna execute Operation 58, 8, and 37 or something like that.
Oh yeah.
And Wrecker's like, all of them? He's like, yes. I love when that happens because we're like, what are any of these things?
Yeah.
What are you doing that are these operations? I love that stuff.
But yeah, that, what do you think about the Bad Batch? Whenever they fight the clones, they set their guns to stunt. I get why they do it, I guess. I don't know. It feels risky.
I think it's a really cool, like touch to their character that they like. At the end of the day, whether or not these like trying to kill them, like they're still their brothers in a weird way. And, you know, we get a touch of that in the season finale or series finale of Clone Wars when Rex is fighting Jesse and the whole 501st, or I guess at the time, 332nd Company. And I thought, I like that. That's cool. I don't have much to say about it, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. In that instance, I was like, well, these are Rex's friends. And in this instance, like, I don't know. The Bad Batch have never been accepted by the... Like, I don't know that they could consider them friends, but, you know, I'll accept it. It's their kind, right?
Yeah.
So, and I guess they feel like there's some element that they don't have control over what they're doing. But with that being said, they end up getting off the ship. And this is when we cut back to the Senate here. And this is my favorite part where I think this was just such a clever twist and everything. And it's just such a Palpatine move that he pulls here where he basically uses Rampart as a little pawn in his game. And Rampart goes through all of this and they, you know, they reveal that he had destroyed Kamino. But he still kind of feels like he has success in some way. But it kind of backfires where Palpatine's like, well, yes, this happened, but if that's the case, then that means the clones are too dangerous and, we need to decommission them. So, it all just kind of worked out and played right into his hand. And, I thought this was great. He ends up arresting Rampart. So yeah, any thoughts on all this?
Palpatine is one toxic ass male. Like he is an absolute villain.
Very gaslighty.
Very gaslighty. Not that Rampart's necessarily like a good guy, but like, I think there was a quote in a comic recently that I learned about, saying that the Empire needs enemies to survive, and that like the Empire is a very militaristic, government, and they need to justify why they constantly need an army, why they need a Death Star, why they need like the Navy, that will cover the galaxy. Just like they need enemies to justify their actions. And so I think Palpatine isn't afraid to like, you know, piss off some people in the Senate, because then, you know, they get more of this like generalized term that was used a lot in these two episodes of Insurgents. And so that he can send his beautiful new stormtroopers to, so they can keep the funding going for that. I don't know. It's got to do with the the political aspect. It's got to do with the disgustingness of Palpatine. These two episodes felt so Star Wars to me, and I really ate it up.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. I do want to pat myself on the back a little bit, because I did say that Rampart, somebody was going to turn on Rampart. When he shot, what was his name, Wilco, maybe, in episode 1, I was like, that's it. It just felt like this, there's going to be some perfect karma here and someone's going to turn on him. And that's what happened. Do you think we're going to get more Rampart, or is he just going to be in a cell forever now?
I just had this brief inkling of a thought that he could end up like, what's his name from Rebels? Not Cyril. Cyril. No, thank you. I've had enough Cyril. the guy from Rebels, the guy
Callus.
Callus, yeah. We could get a Callus thing where he's like, Empire wronged me, so I'm gonna turn on them and help out the Rebels or Insurgents or Bad Batch or whatever. I don't foresee that happening. I do think someone's gonna need an answer at some point. They're gonna visit him in a cell, if anything. Other than that, I don't think we're seeing Rampart again.
Yeah, so actually, I like that comparison, but I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to give him more of a General Hux, where, like, yes, he's willing to help the good guys for bad reasons, and it's going to backfire on him. Callus was, like, full-blown good. It's hard for me to imagine. Rampart, like, is just, like, he's basically a serial killer. Like, he's killed clones. Like, he's just a horrible, like, I don't see any redemption here. So,
he's a tried-and-true Imperial.
Yes, very much so. The final scene here, which I really like this scene as well, where I think this is very true to the character. Echo is going to stick with Rex to go help other clones. And, you know, Rex is his old buddy. Like, I think this makes total sense. I think it's something, like, I don't know if I would question it, but it would be weird if I thought about it. Like, why wouldn't Echo go back with Rex? I feel like they have a much better relationship and their interests align way more. So I think this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I try not to talk about the episodes when I cover them on here with you too much. But I did say that last scene for me at first was weird, fast, and forced. But the more I thought about it, is like, you're completely right. He's a 501st boy. Rex is his guy. I mean, I see it. I didn't like that we had that scene earlier in the episode of that, how he was like, I feel needed with the Bad Batch. And now he's like, oh, now I feel needed with Rex. I guess that might be because the Bad Batch is doing like kind of bigger things at first, and now they're just like mercenaries or like bounty hunters or whatever. But ultimately, I think the decision's pretty cool. I hope we see him again. I hope this isn't the end of Echo.
I feel like you're right. You're absolutely right. There, but like, it's not an easy choice. I still think it's the right choice for him, but like, I feel like we could have seen a little. Like, he was very accepting of the fact, and maybe that just comes with us having half hour episodes, where like, if it was a full episode, you might have seen him struggle with the decision a little bit more. But I don't know what's going to be the future of Echo from here on out. Like, I imagine we'll probably see them again, maybe even in the season, but I don't know. Do you have any opinions there?
If I know Filoni, we're getting a spinoff series of Rex and Echo.
Yeah.
No, I think I don't know. I just think Rex is, when it comes to animation, he is bound to show up no matter what, at least once a season of everything. And so I think whenever Rex shows up, there's going to be Echo with him, and it's going to be like old times. They're going to catch up. They're going to talk. But Echo has a great point of like, he's real sick of solitude. He got enough of that on Skeko Minor, and he wants to like spread his wings and like be a rebel. Which I think is pretty sick. And like a rebel for clones, which is pretty cool. Like, if you think about it, Bad Batch, yes, but Rex and Echo more so are like vigilantes for clones. And that they're like, they're kind of sitting on the sidelines, and once they get a call, they're going to go scoop them up and get them out of there. And it's like, I want to know, like, where are they? Is there like a cool insurgent clone base in the Outer Rim? I mean, we kind of learn about that with Rex and Gregor and Wolf and Rebels. I don't know. I'm going on it.
Yeah.
I love all that.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. I think another reason that makes a lot of sense for Echo is because he has been done the most wrong out of all the clones, right? Like, he sees what could happen to them. Like, he's like physically scarred from like the torture he went through. So I think it makes sense for him to be like, hey, I don't want to see any other clones go through this. It's interesting though, because bad signs for Echo, because he's not part of that Rebels crew, right? So I don't know. I'm a little worried.
I hate that you just said that. I don't think about stuff like that, about like, we don't see Echo in Rebels. I did kind of think about it during this episode. I was like, we don't see any of the Bad Batch in Rebels. We don't see Bad Batch ever. And I'm not going to lie, and this could still come at the end of the season, I thought we were getting a Bad Batch death. I thought Tech or Wrecker or someone was going to die. I don't know. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, and here's the thing with Dave Filoni. He hates killing his characters, especially like his original characters. It's not easy for him. I would prefer to see how they ultimately go out. But I don't know. I guess this show's pretty dark, so it could happen.
Yeah, I think that's a maybe season 3 or 4 thing. But you're very right about Filoni. He does not. If anything, he wants to bring back the whole cast of Star Wars in one episode if possible. Have you ever heard, little tangent, have you ever heard about when he pitched to George Lucas bringing back Plo Koon?
I feel like I heard about this, but I don't know details aside from that.
It's been a while since I've heard the story, but he pitched bringing back Plo Koon, and like, George was like, stop. I'm getting tired of you bringing back all these characters. Like, let someone be dead.
Yeah. A lot of fun, Jake, recapping these two episodes with you. Any other final comments on these two episodes or Bad Batch as a whole?
I'm really not ready to go back to silly side missions. I was really digging these two episodes, and I know we won't kind of revisit this until the season finale, but I'll try to enjoy the ride of whatever goofy tangents they have in store.
Yep. So, all right. Well, I know you have a recommendation for us here today. Yep. So I'm going to throw it over to you to tell people about what you want to tell them about.
So I was glad to be on this episode of Bad Batch coverage, but I also was glad I'm on this particular week, because that means I could be the first to recommend frickin' Hogwarts Legacy. I've been playing the early access, and guys, I'm having a real blast. I will say that the actual game doesn't drop until tomorrow. I don't know when this episode comes out, but the 10th, and it does fall victim to a couple of like your stereotypical open world RPG AAA games tropes. But the world is so rich in kind of the way they execute. So sorry about that. About how they execute a lot of this stuff was really freaking cool. I didn't know how big the world was going to be. I thought you were just maybe exploring the big castle of Hogwarts. But like, I mean, you were going far out into the forest and you're fighting goblins, and the combat feels really cool. I can gush about this game forever. Just play some Hogwarts Legacy. If you're a Harry Potter fan, you are not going to regret it.
Okay, my turn. Jake, you know, like, I haven't been like fully entrenched in the DC universe too much. You know, I watch some of the movies here and there, but it's hard for me to get into the comics. I just, like, by design, I've just always stuck closer to Marvel. But our good buddy Alex Bizard forced my hand and said, you need to check out some DC animation. And he got me to watch the Flashpoint Paradox, I think it's called. Flashpoint Paradox. Justice League animated movie. And it is so good. It is so good. Like, I am blown away. It basically kind of comes down to, like, it's like a DC What If episode, right? Like, I don't want to spoil too much, but things happen and the universe changes, and the implications of that amongst all of the Justice League is incredible. So I will leave you with that.
Flashpoint's a great story.
Yeah. Was not on my radar, but it is now. And I guess I'm gonna be watching more of these DC animated movies. So gonna put another peg and a recommendation I already had before as well. I'm still playing RimWorld, and I'm still just, I mean, this game is so, it's so brutal. Like there are points where like you're basically building a town of people to survive. And like, I'll finally build my town. I finally feel like things are going well. And then like a pack of wild huskies will break into your complex and like murder 9 of them. And one is able to like crawl back to their bed and recuperate just in time. And it's like a permadeath game. So like it, once all my people are gone, the game is over. So like the like highs and lows of this game are unlike anything I've ever experienced. And it like, it's kind of a game of frustration. Like it's designed for bad things to happen all the time, but like the way you're able to adapt and to those horrible events is just so much fun. So I'm still trying to get people to play RimWorld. So if you're listening to this, definitely check it out and hit me up.
We're at a funny crossroads, me and Michael, because I feel like if he wasn't playing RimWorld, he'd play Hogwarts Legacy. And if I wasn't playing Hogwarts Legacy, I'd play RimWorld. But we're too like immersed in our own separate worlds. Is that like we're not budging from these two areas?
We'll switch maybe off in like a month.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll tag out.
Yeah.
All right, Jake. Thanks again so much for doing this. Do you want to tell people where they can find you online and anything else you're up to?
Yeah. I will say you can find me on Instagram. That's really the only place I'm active. That's going to be wideawakejake.com. I was about to say .com. How old am I?
You got to go to the World Wide Web.
Go to Instagram.com/. Yeah, Wide Awake Jake with periods in between each word. And you can also find me on my baking show on YouTube. That is the Great Bedtime Baking Show. This is the 5th or maybe 6th episode that I've said an episode's coming out. We're not professionals. No one gets paid to do this. So episodes come out when they come out. But one is in the can. It's on the way, and I'm really excited because I don't remember a thing about the episode. I just know it was a blast to shoot with our special guest. So keep an eye out. Subscribe to Great Bedtime Baking Show and put your notification on.
Cool. All right. Well, I will close this out here. I like to remind you guys to rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify, preferably 5 stars. That really does help the show. Another thing that helps the show a lot is subscribing, because, you know, that helps you and me, because if you subscribe, that means we get more downloads and the show becomes easier to find. It helps you because we will be covering cool stuff and you'll get notifications on your phone when you subscribe. So definitely hit that subscribe button. And we're trying new things. Like I think 2023 is like the year of like the new Star Wars, right? We're kind of shedding our skin a little bit. We're branching out into new things. We're talking about The Last of Us, and we got a lot of cool stuff coming up for the rest of the year too. So if you subscribe, you'll have it all. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Stark Wars Pod. And also, we have a little Discord community going on. So if that's something you're interested in, you can ask us for a link and we will get you in there. But that is all we got for you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
Good soldiers follow orders.
We'll leave it at that.